Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to have a look a bit at some systematic theology. And before you totally turn off, okay, that's just the good stuff, okay, that we're going to have a wee focus on, different bits and pieces that are, you know, different aspects of the faith that are really important to have a wee think about and to meditate upon. And tonight what we're going to look at is regeneration and what it means to be born again. What does it mean to be born again, after all? What is that about? Is it necessary? What does it mean? Is it something that's scary? Oh, I'm born again, you know? Someone says that to you, you're like, oh, don't know about that.
It's a new start.
A new start, that's exactly what it is. But sometimes, you know, there's bad press about being born again. You know, sometimes you hear in the news, you know, about, you know, it's these born-again Christians that are doing this. You know, and it's a very negative kind of thing that's portrayed, okay? Now, at one time or another, you might have been asked the question, are you a Christian? Okay, you might have been asked that question. And, you know, if you've answered in the affirmative and you said, yes, I'm a Christian, you might have experienced being asked a second question. Has this ever happened to you? Where someone says to you, but are you a born-again Christian? Now, when you're asked that kind of question, I wonder what your reaction has been. It might be puzzlement. Was I born again Christian? It might be indignation. Of course I'm a born again Christian. Of course that's what I am. It might be annoyance. Because after all Christians are born again, aren't they? Is that true? Let's have a think about it then. Now, the idea of being born again, where does it come from? Well, of course, it comes from the chapter that we were 3. And in that chapter, what we see is Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a Jewish leader, and he goes to see Jesus at night. And it's significant that Nicodemus goes at night because it shows he was going in secret, okay? He didn't want his pals to know, those other Pharisees. He didn't want them to know that he had gone to see Jesus. But clearly something is stirring in Nicodemus's heart that makes him want to seek Jesus out. And also the fact that it's at night is kind of a picture for us, isn't it? Of, you know, the spiritual darkness that Nicodemus finds himself in. He doesn't know where he wants to find out more because he's in this cloud, he's in this darkness. He cannot see. And if you look at John's gospel, you see often light and dark is a big theme throughout the gospel. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he has some questions about who Jesus is. That's his main thing here. He sees the signs, he sees the miracles that Jesus has been doing, and he's wondering to himself, who is this? Who is this man? Rabbi, he comes to Jesus. Maybe that's flattery, we don't exactly know. Teacher, I've seen these miracles, and no one could be doing these miracles unless they're from God. What's going on? And in verse 3, Jesus says, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. It's kind of a cryptic response in a way, isn't it? But it's trying to draw Nicodemus out. Now, of course, Nicodemus misunderstands. He has no clue what Jesus is on about. And he can almost see the kind of, you know, in the kind of cartoons or, you know, comic strip, and you see the kind of wee bubble going up and it's a kind of question mark. And you can see that that's happening with Nicodemus. And he's thinking, how can a man fit in a woman's womb again, a mother's womb again? That doesn't work. How can that be? It doesn't work. He thinks Jesus is talking about physical birth. But of course, as Jesus makes clear, he's talking about spiritual birth. He's talking about faith in him. Because it's when he's lifted up, of course, referring to the cross, that everyone who believes has eternal life. And that's what Jesus is saying to Nicodemus. That's who I am. When I am lifted up, you will receive eternal life. And that truly is what being born again is all about. It's believing in Jesus. It's receiving the Holy Spirit. And we are made new. We're made a new creation. The old has died with Christ, and we are made new. Now, in our tradition of baptism in the Church of Scotland, in the Presbyterian Church, it's usually a nice wee baby, okay, wee sprinkling of water on the head, okay? But I do love the symbolism in a full immersion, about a full immersion, because what happens in a full immersion, you see the person dying with Christ, they're going down to the grave, and they're rising, and they're a new creation. There's great symbolism in that. The dead is gone, they're washed of their sin in Christ, and they are made new. They're completely new when they come out. A new creation, great symbolism. There are a few things that are important, really important to recognize in terms of being born again or regeneration. The first thing I want to have a wee think about tonight, okay, is this is totally a work of God. Totally a work of God. When we were born, okay, we cannot remember that, but when you were born, that was not something you chose to do, was it? You weren't thinking to yourself, oh, it would be nice to live on planet Earth. It would be nice to live in West Kilbride or Largs or wherever you're from, or Skelmorley. Where's Marjorie? There we go. You know, it would be nice to live, nice to be born in whatever year you were born in. You didn't have that choice, did you? You didn't make that choice. It was something that simply happened. And there you were. And what I want to say to you is that being born again is a complete act of God. It's God who calls us. It's God who changes us. It is a complete act of grace. Think of Paul on the Damascus Road. Remember what Paul was going to do when he was going to Damascus. He was going to persecute the Christians that were there. When he was going there, do you think he had any idea what was going to happen to him? He had no idea what was going to happen. He had it in his mind. This is what he was going to do. And then what happened? Jesus met with him. And he was changed. Completely changed. His heart was changed. He was given new life. Regeneration is an act of God awakening spiritual life within us. And gone to him in faith. And as God calls us, he regenerates us and we respond in faith and repentance. Now, this is the hard bit, okay? So if you don't listen to anything else tonight, try and focus on this. Now, the hymn that we just sung there, do you think it's right or wrong? I have decided to follow Jesus. Is that right or wrong? I want to say to you, you don't decide. It's nothing to do with you. It's a complete act of grace. Now, how can that be? You know, you say, well, you know, I decided to follow Jesus. But what I want to say to you is, think about your own journey of faith. What happened to you? You see, the fact is that God must have been working in your heart before you responded to him in faith. And what I want to suggest to you tonight, and this is something I'd not really thought of before, is that God begins regeneration before you respond to him in faith. That's quite a thought, actually. God is at work regenerating inside before you respond in faith. You see, sometimes we think, you know, it's a line, I believe, God regenerates, and therefore, hey, Christian, okay? That's not how it works. It's God at work. God is there all along, no matter what your journey is. Now, some of us here tonight will have been converted in an amazing way, okay? Very suddenly. You know, God will have come into our life and we've known it's an act of God. But for some of us, it's been much more gradual. Okay? Suddenly they've realized, you know, God has been there. But in both situations, I want you to think, if you've had a kind of gradual conversion, you can probably point to examples in your life where you know God has been leading you in a certain direction. C.S. Lewis, okay, when he became a Christian, he knew that God was on his case. That's what he knew. Before he was even a Christian, he knew God was on his case. And for us here tonight, I want to suggest to you, if you're a Christian, God has been on your case. And he's been regenerating you before you responded to him in faith. That's quite a thought, isn't it? Now, I've decided to follow Jesus, okay? But you think of, you know, yes, there is a kind of decision to be made. But when the disciples like Peter and John and the others, when they followed Jesus, when Jesus said to them, come and follow me, God was already at work in their hearts. So they knew that that was the time to respond. And for you tonight, if you think about your own experience, looking back, you suddenly realize that God had prepared my heart. God had already been at work. That's an amazing thing. And that's what it shows. It's all of grace. That's what I want to show you tonight. This is all of grace. It's all of God. It's all a gift. It's not about us thinking, I've decided. It's not about that. It's about God saying, you are mine. You are my daughter. You are my son. And I'm regenerating you. Sometimes those things are very close together, the regeneration and the kind of act of faith. Sometimes they're so close together we almost can't tell the difference. But clearly this is the case. That's what we see. Because what does Jesus say later in John's Gospel? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's what Jesus says. That, you cannot be regenerated unless the Father draws you. That's what you say. Further on, what does he say? No one can come to me unless it's granted by my Father. There you go. It's quite clear, isn't it? And yet we seem to have this kind of idea. I decide. You know, I decide to follow Jesus. But it's not about us. It's all of grace. And we see this clearly. Someone like Lydia, Acts chapter 16, where it says, the Lord gave heed to what was said by Paul. It was the Lord who opened her heart, and then she responded. It's God who regenerates. It's an act of grace that we might respond to him in faith, and he gives us new life. That's the main part. You can fall back asleep if you want to, but this is the next part. Okay. The next thing I want to address is this, okay? Every Christian must be born again, but not everyone who claims to be a Christian is born again. Did you get that? Okay. Every Christian must be born again, but not everyone who claims to be a Christian is born again. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, let's go back to that person who asked the question, are you a born-again Christian? Now, in many ways, that's a non-question. It's like saying, are you a Christian? Okay, it's a double thing, because born-again and Christian is the same thing, isn't it? A Christian is someone who's born again. There is no difference. You can't be a Christian and not born again, okay? So there's no kind of two-tier Christianity here, where some are born again and some are not. I think in kind of popular culture, it's kind of, you know, there are those kind of nominal Christian and born again, you know, really up for it Christians, okay? That's not what it is. There's no such thing as a non-born-again Christian. They don't exist. You're either born again or you're not born again. It's one or the other. And that is quite clear. You know, sometimes we deal in shades of grey, but in terms of salvation, it's black and white. You're a goat or you're a sheep. You're born again or you're not born again. It's one or other. And that's why we must be wary of anyone who says they're a Christian and yet is not born again. We must be wary of that. So the question is, how do we tell the difference? How do we know? Well, regeneration brings results in life. Okay? So for example, 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. And what that's pointing at is, when someone becomes a Christian, you begin to notice it. That's the whole point. The fruit of the Spirit begins to come through. There is a change in life. You'll know them by their fruit. That's basically what that's saying. And then there's the Christ-like love. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. If there's genuine regeneration, a person will believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and will refrain from a pattern of continual sin, will love his brother and sister, and will show all these godly characteristics. Now, for some of us, that's a bit slow, but I'm sure a lot of us will know people that have been converted overnight and something has changed. You just know it. You can see it. You know, what they were doing before just is not happening anymore. We saw that in some of the Alpha videos when we watched them. It was an amazing conversion of someone who'd been in prison. And, you know, he was a drug addict. And he was converted. And he woke up in the morning and he didn't have a desire for the drugs. And he looked in the mirror. And it was like his face had changed. And that's what happens, isn't it? You become a new creation. And you know that deep inside. So I want to ask you tonight, are you born again? Are you born again? Today is remembrance, of course, okay? And especially today we remember the Great War. And sometimes when we think of the Great War, I don't know what it's like for you. I'm so much younger than you all here tonight. No, that's not true. Am I the youngest? No, I'm not. I'm not quite the youngest. Okay, there's a couple younger than me. But when I think of the Great War, I think that was years ago. Okay, and part of the reason for that is all the footage from it, the limited footage that's from it, it's all black and white. And it's kind of bad quality. And you just think, it seems like ages ago. It's a different, you know, different time period. You might be aware that Peter Jackson, the well-known director who did The Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit, these kind of films, he's used some techniques to clean up the film from the Great War. And he's introduced colour to it to try and show us what World War One would have been like. So it's all colour, it's all kind of smoothed out, and it's amazing. And he's got some lip readers in to see what people were saying, and he's added a soundtrack because it was all silent. It's an amazing job. And his reason for doing this, his own First World War. But what he said was, there's no black and white war for those who fought in it. Only colour. And he's right, isn't there? We don't see in black and white. We see in colour, don't we? And it's an amazing restoration job. What I want to say to you tonight, when you're born again, it's like going from black and white to colour. The world seems different. You experience it in a different way. It's as though you're born again. I think the Apostle Paul's conversion is a great picture for us. Because what happened to Paul? He was blinded. Something came over his eyes. And then, you know, finally when, I can't remember the prophet that came to him at the time, you know, when he laid hands on him, it was like something like scales fell from his eyes. And suddenly he was able to see. And that's what happens when you're born again. You begin to see things in a new way. God gives you new eyes. He gives you a new everything. It's wonderful. And suddenly the things that mattered to you before don't matter so much. The things you were worried about some more before, they don't matter so much. What matters is God. That God loves you. That God cares for you. That God has died for you. That you have an amazing Savior in the Lord Jesus. And I want to remind you tonight, if you are born again, that is a complete act of grace. It's an act of love from an amazing and wonderful God. You see, when you see regeneration in that way, when you realize that it is God who's drawn you to this place where you can respond to Him in faith, you begin to realize that it's not me. This is God. And how humbling is that, that God would choose me? That God would come into my life? That Jesus would die for me? The humbling thing. An amazing thing. To be born again. To be regenerated. Is that you tonight? If it's not you, pray that God would come. Pray that God would come into your heart. Pray that you would know that regeneration. And that you would know that love that God has for you. And if you are born again tonight, rejoice. Sometimes we can be so down. Oh, life's so hard. But we have a wonderful God. And therefore, no matter what's happening in your life, and yes, we all face difficult times and difficult situations, but when we have a God like that, I often say this about the Church of Scotland. Church of Scotland, so hard. But we have an amazing God, come on. Therefore, what's the problem? Really? God is still God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's regenerated things in the past. He can do it again. He can revive things as he did in days gone by. We believe in that God, don't we? We trust in him. Therefore, let's continue to have faith in him and give thanks to him. Shall we just pray? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you for our time together tonight, and we are so grateful that you're a God of such grace, such power, such love. And Lord God, as we think through perhaps our own conversion experience, that time when we suddenly knew that things had changed in our life, when you, Lord Jesus, had come in, Lord God, we recognize that was not to do with us. That, Lord God, it was about you being at work. That you began that process of regenerating us, and you allowed us to respond to your grace. So, Heavenly Father, we come, and we can only humble ourselves before you, because we recognize we cannot earn our salvation, but we are simply sinners saved by your grace and your love. And so we come before you, an almighty God, and yet a good, good Father. Lord God, we recognize in our life that sometimes we let you down, that often we turn away from you. Sometimes, if we're honest, we can become so concerned with worldly things, we can come quite downcast. And yet, Lord God, we pray that you would lift up our eyes to see you as you are, that we might know that joy within, that joy from having that relationship with you, that joy of being a new creation, that joy of being an alien in a foreign land, because we recognize that we don't belong here, but we have a heavenly home. Father, we pray that you would bring all these truths home to our hearts this evening. So, Father, meet with us in the place where we find ourselves tonight. If we are really struggling tonight, I ask that you would minister to us. And, Father, if we just think that we've lost our way in our faith, I pray that you would restore that joy to us once more, that you would remind us of the greatness of your love and your mercy, and that we might leave this place rejoicing tonight. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.